Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today as we can get into God's Word together. 2 weeks ago, we introduced a sermon series when we looked at the encounter between the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, looking at the discipleship stages that he went through. I introduced the fact that in the coming weeks, we'd be talking about discipleship here at RBF and what we really feel God is calling us to do in order to follow the command to make disciples. You see, when Christ left this earth after he had died and was resurrected and he had spent time with his disciples for a little while, before he ascended into heaven, he gave the disciples this command in Matthew: "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You see, that's our purpose. It's our purpose as a church. That's our purpose as individuals, is to go and make disciples. I've been thinking a lot about how well the church is doing at that. Church in general. Are we making disciples? A lot of times we focus on that teaching aspect of it. And that teaching aspect of it is a very, very, very important aspect of making disciples. But a lot of times we teach and teach and teach, but there's not a whole lot of making going on. I remember being in auto shop class in high school, and my teacher would put us to sleep in class. I don't know if you ever had one of those teachers. But he would sit there with the book and we'd go page by page and just read the book. There was a whole lot of teaching going on, but there was very, very little hands-on making going on. And I learned basically absolutely nothing in that class when I was done. I learned that I could put my hat down, hold a pencil, and sleep for 30 minutes without being discovered. That's not a good thing. I just didn't learn anything. There was no application, and I struggled with classes like that. I don't know if you're anything like me, but when it was just teaching-based and no application-based, I just didn't get what was going on. I think a lot of times as disciples, we kind of get caught in that too, where we hear a lot of teaching, but the making doesn't happen. You see, making gets a little dirty. I could teach you all day how to do something. Let's say build a table. I couldn't teach you how to do it, but somebody else may be able to. They could teach you and teach you, but the actual making of a table gets a little bit dirty, right? It's involved. It's time-consuming. It's sacrificing. Sometimes it hurts. Especially when you hit your thumb with a hammer. Or put your hand on the other side of a drill bit as it's coming through the hole. Don't want to do that. There's some dirtiness and some involvement into making something. But in the end, that making process is worth it. It's so worth it. You see, that's what we've been called to do as a church. And as individuals, is to actually make disciples. Teaching them is part of it. But making, walking through life together, being connected, going past the instruction is so important. That's what we're going to look at today. Sometimes when all we have is just instruction, we get to the point where we say, "What do I need to do? Just show me what I need to do. Enough of the teaching. Show me." Yesterday, Rachel and I decided we were going to do a 45-minute job in our yard. It would take us 45 minutes. We're sure of it. We had this bush on the side of our house that was just out of control, and I trimmed it last year, and it just didn't look very good, and I just couldn't get it to trim right. I'm not the world's best gardener at all. I like easy maintenance stuff that you never have to do anything with. Give me rocks and bushes, and we're good. But this is one of those bushes that just takes over. And we figured we'd dig it up. It'd take us 45 minutes. No problem. I've dug up many trees, many bushes in my life. 5 hours later, we got it out of the ground. Broke a rope twice on the back of Jeremy's truck, but got it out of the ground. See, the roots had gone out. And so what looked like a base about this wide became a base about this wide. Have you ever tried to pick up that much dirt? It's impossible. And so we took the spade shovel and I just started chipping away at the roots. Or I've been told I say that wrong. Roots. I'm sticking with roots. And so I'm chipping away at these roots and I'm getting up and we finally get to the point where it's a little bit small. And I'm thinking this thing is finally going to move because we've carved underneath of it. So I'm more than halfway underneath of it. I'm all the way around this thing. And I kick it. And it goes nowhere. So we went back at it. Started digging deeper and deeper. And I could stand in the hole and sit straight down. That's how deep it was. And this wide. Eventually, we were able to break most of the roots out, but there was our roots, if you would prefer that. And there was about 4 left on the bottom, and we decided, I had tipped it over, so we're good. We got this thing. Tied up a rope to it, rope snapped, tipped it over, continued chipping away at it, thought we got them all, put it on there, put the rope on it, pulled, rope snapped. Finally, we just decided to man up and pull it out. And we got Nola on one end of the rope, and she started pulling with all her might. And Rachel and Jeremy and I, and we pulled the thing out of the hole. Success. But so many times throughout the day, that 5-hour period, some of you are thinking, why didn't you just get a backhoe? Because I don't own one. I am my own backhoe. I can do it in 45 minutes. And so many times throughout that day, I thought, what's next? What do I have to do? I've dug under. I've dug around. I've trimmed it down. And this thing is not moving. What's next? In the passage today in Acts, there is this question asked of, what must I do? What must we do? What's next? I think many times in our discipleship life, we come to that key question. I've been in church. What's next? Turn with me to Acts, if you would. Chapter 2. We're going to start halfway through the dialogue here. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter is talking to Israel. And many, many people that are around him. And this is during the time that they had received the Holy Spirit. And they have gone out and they start to proclaim the good news of salvation found in Christ alone. And as they go out, the people are hearing it in all their different languages. And they proclaim what had happened to Christ. And then they come to this key part here on verse 36 where it says this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When they heard this, they came under deep conviction and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what must we do? Repent, Peter said to them. And be baptized, each of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. And with many other words he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. So those who accepted his message were baptized. And that day about 3,000 people were added to them. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and the breaking of bread from house to house. They ate their food with joy and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all people. And every day God added to them those who were being saved. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your great love for us. I pray that you will teach us today through your word. That you will be the sole focus today. Holy Spirit, teach us, convict us, guide us, that we will follow after you. I thank you for this example that's being set here up in Scripture, Lord, that we can read about the first church and how they dedicated themselves to you, Lord. Lord, help us to be able to answer that question. What does it mean to make a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? How do we follow after that call to go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them? Lord, that starts with each of us. And so today, Lord, I pray that you will teach each of us and that we'll be honest and open with our lives. And they will surrender them fully to you to follow you, Lord. Lord, we need you. We need you to teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 36, Peter tells them exactly who Christ is. He is Lord. And he is Messiah. You see, he presents this truth. It's the message of true connecting to God. See, these people were seeking a connection just like the eunuch was that we studied 2 weeks ago. They had gathered together to hear the proclamation of Christ. But they didn't know what the next step was. How do they connect to God? And so Peter goes on to explain it to them as they ask that key question, what must we do? You see, it's more than just hearing. There actually had to be a connection. Remember the old dial phones? Some of you probably remember older phones than that, but I remember we had one in our house where you'd start dialing and you'd go and go back, and then you'd miss the number, do it wrong, and you'd hang up and you'd start over. There was always this kind of delay when you'd pick it, you'd dial and then you'd pick it up, and there was a delay before it was connected. I think we knew the phone number, but there was this delay. I think a lot of people are kind of stuck in that delay period where they constantly are hearing about God over and over and over and over, and they know the right phone number, But they haven't made that personal connection. And this is what Peter calls them to do here, is to make this connection personal. Peter comes out and he says in verse 36, know with certainty. What is knowing with certainty? It's believing. He's calling them to believe in Christ. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. So he calls them to believe in verse 36. And then in verse 37, they go under deep conviction. And they ask that question, what must we do? In verse 38, Peter says this, repent, Peter said to them, and be baptized, each of you. That was the action part of this belief. He called them to believe. Now he's saying the action part, what must we do? We must repent, turn from our sin, and be baptized is what he called them to do. The previous, or at the end of this verse, he says this to them. At the end of 40, at the end of this conversation, he says, be saved from this corrupt generation. Okay, we didn't read the passage that leads up to this. But prior to this passage, if you have your Bibles open, you can look at verse 21. Peter had instructed them how to actually be saved. In verse 21, it says, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay? Verse 21, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, well, who is Lord? Well, in verse 36, Peter points out that Jesus is Lord. So anyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. And what is the response? To repent and be baptized. Believe and know for certain. Have you made that personal commitment? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That he came and he died on the cross for your sins, was crucified in our place to take our punishment for our sin? Have you believed that? And in response to that, have you repented and turned, realizing that salvation will only come through Christ? And have you been baptized to proclaim it to the world? It's a command. It's a command to repent. It's a command to be baptized. Have we done it? I want to challenge you in this. If you've never been baptized, and you'd say, yeah, I believe, but you've never repented, it's time. It's time to do it. You see, Peter here, he urges them. He strongly urges them in verse 40. Be saved from this corrupt generation. Do we not live in a corrupt generation? Yes, we do. You want to be saved from it? Believe. Call on Jesus. Repent and be baptized. Proclaiming your salvation to the world. No, baptism does not save you. And no, we do not earn salvation through repentance. But those are fruits of our belief. Those are results of our relationship. In 2 weeks, actually, not 2 weeks now, next week, we're going to do a baptism service. And we have one young lady that is going to be baptized, and I'd love to have more. If you'd say today that you've never followed Christ in believer's baptism, I'd love to talk to you after church. That's the call. That's what we are instructed and commanded to do. Believe, call on, and the fruit, repent and be baptized. See, this was the personal connection to God. So what was their response? In verse 41, it says this. So those who accepted, that's the believing the message, knowing what's been told, it was personal then, they were baptized. 3,000 people. Wow. See, the message was proclaimed. The Holy Spirit convicted. The people responded to the good news that Jesus saves. And they were connected to God for the first time in their life in a way they'd never been before. They had heard all about Him. They had been raised in religion. But now they had a relationship. The next thing that happens, though, it goes past a personal connection to a group connection, to a corporate connection, to a church body connection. In verse 42, it says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to breaking of bread, into the prayers. You see, it didn't just stop at that personal connection. See, a lot of people will say that my faith, my relationship with God is very, very personal. I can't share it with anybody. I can't talk about it with anybody. It's just a personal thing. That's not the design. We're called to do this together, guys. None of us are perfect. We're called to walk through life together. That's discipleship. That's making. So, it's okay to admit that you're not perfect. I'm not. It's okay to walk with each other and share your ups and downs. That's exactly what the church did here. And they did it through this, devoting themselves. Would devoted describe your connection to the church? Devoted. Devoted themselves to teaching. Devoted themselves to fellowship. See, the word fellowship there, literally, I found the literal translation of fellowship there means partnership, sharing. It goes past just hanging out and sharing a donut to a partnership in life. And this church devoted themselves to this, walking alongside each other. And then it says they've devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. What's the breaking of bread? It's the Lord's Supper, communion. They celebrated this over and over because of what Christ had done for them. And then prayer. They prayed not only individually, but corporately together. In verse 44, we see that they were together. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. And then in verse 46, we see that they actually did this every day. Every day. Someone just freaked out because they're thinking, you're going to ask us to come to church every day? What? No. We have our corporate, our family worship once a week on a Sunday. But does devoted describe your commitment to the once a week worship that we have? It says that they were all together, that they were devoted. What would happen if we all showed up every week? That'd be amazing. It would. I realize life has sicknesses and ups and downs. But to be together as a church family, a fellowship, a partnership. I mean, it's in our name, Bible fellowship. Partnering together, being discipled together, regularly devoted to that, that would be amazing. This example that they set was life-changing to those around them as well. God added to their number over and over and over. See Hebrews 10, verse 22 through 25 says this. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There's two different words used there. We have devoted to those that are part of the worship and dedicated to it and pouring into each other's life. And then we have habitually, which is something that is typically used in a bad term, of those that are continuing to skip that worship together. Let me encourage you today. The design for discipleship is for us to personally connect with God. Yes. No one else can make that decision for you. You have to personally commit to God. And it's only through his work in our life that we even do that. But then we are called to actually do this life together and to be committed to a church body. Every time someone visits the church as a guest of our family, I am very excited to write them and just say, thank you for coming and worshiping with our family. This is our church family. This is our fellowship. This is our partnership. It's an amazing thing. It's God's design for discipleship. That we are to walk with each other and to encourage each other and to build each other up and to make disciples. I have this table in my garage that I started working on probably 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And I've sanded down the top of it and it's really cool looking. And that's as far as I've got. I'm not spending a whole lot of time with it. I walk by and I see it. Hey, table, how you doing? Looking the same? I don't talk to it. I'm not that weird. So, you know, I look over and I'm like, man, I gotta finish that thing. That's going to be my desk. Yeah. My other desk might be disappearing in a week, so I need to get it done. But in order to actually make it into something, I actually got to spend time with the table. I can't just walk by, glance at it, and move on throughout my day. I will never make anything that way. It's going to take a little bit of an investment. It's going to take a little bit of sacrifice of time. It's going to take probably some pain because I tend to hurt myself when I build. It just happens. I get all into it. Like I tend to break shovels when I dig up bushes. But if I don't get my hands dirty, it'll never be made into anything. I could talk about the table all I wanted. I could come in every week and tell you about that desk. It is going to be beautiful. I sanded it down. It looks really rustic. It's got the like almost like a marble look to it because of the old finishes running through the wood still. And I'm gonna actually just put a polyurethane on it so it's just nice and shiny. It'll have this rustic look to this. It's gonna be awesome. I'm telling you. Do you believe me? Someday I'll get it done. I got to make it. I got to get hands on. It's got to go past just the personal vision to the actually following through and doing it. So let me ask you this. Are you willing to go past just personal and be discipled together, to love on each other, to connect with each other, to be partners in this life that God has called us to as we go out and we make disciples in this world? So each week when you come in, you see those words on the screen that say, welcome to Rossville Bible Fellowship, and it says, connecting to God. It starts out with a personal connection. And there's a lot of people that'll sit in a chair every week and hear about that personal connection and never follow through. Follow through. And then the design is for us to connect to God together also, as a fellowship, as a partnership. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come and just speak about your word, Lord. Lord, so many times we do get caught, get stuck, and we think, what's next? How do we go further? Lord, you have designs in your word that you've called us to follow. Lord, I thank you for the example of the early church, that they didn't just accept the message and then just walk and try to live this on their own. They were truly connected to you with each other. We'll talk more about that next week, but this week, Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that has not made this connection personal by responding to your conviction in their life, I pray that they'll do so today. And Lord, that they will be devoted to being a part of your fellowship, Lord, a part of your church. We thank you so much for the opportunity to come and worship you each week here with our church family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.